If you have your Bible with you, pick it up and find the Gospel of Mark in chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. And hold your place there for just a moment. Find it on your device or in your Bible, whichever you carry, whichever is best for you. And just hold your place there for a moment. You know, curtains are barriers. No matter how you use a curtain, and in whatever way you use a curtain, it's a barrier. And barriers are highly symbolic things. If you have flown on an airplane, taken a trip lately, especially very far, you know there is a significant symbolic curtain. There's a barrier on every airplane. And if you're like me and you ride in coach or economy class, you experience that barrier every time, because the people who get to board the plane first, they get to sit up front in what's called first class. The rest of us board the plane after them, and probably also in a symbolic fashion, we have to walk through their space to get to ours. And so as we walk through, we see them nestling into their comfortable, wide seats with plenty of leg room, and they have their own personal flight attendant who asks them what they want to eat today. And they get to order what they want to eat. We get peanuts, but they get to order what they want to eat, and they have a real special time. I've often wondered if after we're all settled in, if they get massages. I don't know, but one thing's for sure, that we're all at the back and they're at the front, and between us, we're reminded of this because there's a curtain. And the curtain is drawn, and when the curtain is drawn for the remainder of the flight, we're reminded constantly we do not have access to first class. We're not in first class. We're not worthy of first class. See, they can call it coach, or they can call it business class, or they can call it economy class back there where we sit. But if they're calling that first class, what are we really? Second class. That's right. It just doesn't sound as good to call it that, but they're first class and we're not. So the curtain is drawn. And for the remainder of the flight, when you look up front, you're being constantly reminded you do not have access to first class. Why do you not have access to first class? You didn't pay enough. You didn't earn it. So you don't get to go up there and sit in first class. The choir has brought a production with a simple but profound title, Through the Torn Curtain. It's a reminder that the Gospels teach there was a curtain, a barrier, a physical barrier that symbolized a spiritual barrier that God Himself tore for us. Let's have a little background for it first. When God told His people to build a place of worship, at first a tabernacle and later a temple, God said that that temple would have two curtains. The first curtain would be the place when the people of God came to worship, they would walk through that first curtain into the area where they stayed and they worshiped. Not a lot different from you just coming through those double doors into the space of worship. That curtain hung there to remind everyone, when you pass through this curtain, you're coming to worship. You're coming to sacrifice. You're coming into the presence of God. And you're God's people. But there was a second curtain. That second curtain held deep inside the temple. It hung as a barrier between all of those worshipers and the Holy of Holies, as God's people called it, as the Bible calls it. The place that actually God's presence would dwell for the people. And the people of God were not allowed inside the Holy of Holies. That curtain represented forever the truth that the people, while they were there to worship, were not worthy. They had not earned the right to come into the Holy of Holies. Occasionally, a priest of God would go in for them, would sacrifice for them, but even he was not allowed to stay long. And even he had to be very careful what he did and what he said while he was there. And then back outside, and again the curtain would be drawn, and he could not go back in. Because that's where God's presence was. And the people were not permitted there. Why? Because they were sinners. He was holy, they were unholy. He was righteous, they were unrighteous. And in no way at all can sin be allowed into the presence of God. No matter how much we come and worship, God can't let us in. So there the barrier is hanging. A constant reminder that we're not worthy, that we didn't earn it, that we can't get inside. That God is on the other side. In the Gospel of Mark in chapter 15, we learn that God did something for us we could not do for ourselves the moment Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. John chapter 15, look at verse 37. Mark chapter 15, verse 37. The Bible says this, "And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last," the moment of his death. But look at verse 38, "and the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Mark calls it a veil, we're calling it a curtain, it's the same thing. And the moment Jesus died, Mark says, that veil, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Let's be sure we're clear on what just happened in the temple that day. Those curtains that hung between the people of God and the Holy of Holies were not your living room curtains. This curtain had been woven from special Babylonian materials and then woven again. It was 60 feet long and 30 feet wide. There was no way a human being all on their own could tear it, let alone move it. It required special work to hang it, to move it, to do anything with it, to open it. Anything that had to be done required more than one person to do the job. History tells us that in good old ancient vernacular that it was as long as 60 feet, as wide as 30 feet, and as thick as a man's hand. Now, in the ancient vernacular, that meant it could have been 1 inch up to 4 inches thick. Talk about a barrier. And we have just read that the moment Jesus died, that massive curtain was ripped from top straight to the bottom and torn in half. There's no way a human being could have done that. Clearly and absolutely, the mighty hands of God tore that curtain. He tore that veil. The very thing he had told the people to hang there generations before, now he said, let's rip it apart. Let's tear it in half. Because now Christ has died once for all for your sins. And if you trust Christ as your Savior, guess what? You are worthy. Welcome to the Holy of Holies. What you could not do for yourself, God has done for you. God has provided access to Himself for those who would trust Christ. Let that sink in for a moment. God has provided access. God has been so gracious and so loving to you and to me that while we were not worthy of it, Christ died on the cross for us so that we could have a relationship with God. We could come inside where God is. We could be there. We could have access to Him. We could pray to Him. We could visit with Him. We could have a relationship with Him. We could know Him. What do we need to know about this morning? Consider this with me. First, God provides access through Christ, God provides personal access through Jesus Christ. You may have come in here this morning and if I could define how you feel about yourself, you would say this: I feel unworthy. I feel unworthy. I feel like I've made my life a mess. There is no way that God would accept me. I ask people to pray for me. I ask people to help me, but I don't know what to do on my own. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God has provided access personally for you. God knows you and loves you that much. And you need to understand that we are all sinners. We've all made a mess of things. Apart from God and Jesus Christ, there is no way we would have access to God. But because of Christ, He welcomes us in, and we have access, personal access. That inner curtain that hung in front of the Holy of Holies was the domain of the priests in the temple. So the first people that would have seen it torn that day would have been the priests. And they would have gotten the message right away, I'm out of a job. Because now the people of God, those who trust Christ as Savior, we don't need a priest anymore. A priest's job, by definition, is to serve as a go-between, a stand-in between God and us. But we don't need that anymore because God has provided access. We get to go in ourselves. We get to pray to God ourselves in the name of Christ because we've trusted Christ. Our lives are a living sacrifice to God. We don't need someone else to sacrifice for us because we've trusted Christ. I'm not your priest. I'm your pastor. I'm not your go-between. You're responsible to God. I just try to shepherd you along the way, but you're responsible to God, and the good news is you have access to God all on your own. He provides personal access for you. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God do such a thing? Because He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to know that the curtain is torn apart, that you can come in and be with God. And the second thing we notice, not only is it personal access, when God provides access to Him through Jesus Christ, God provides permanent access through Christ. Permanent access through Christ. Notice how clearly Mark said it. The curtain, the veil, was torn in two. Two distinct pieces. It wasn't a little tear at the top. No one was going to come in and say, gee, we need to fix that tomorrow. It was torn apart, clearly indicating that now it was over. It was taken away. It was permanently removed so the people of God could come to God themselves. In the book of Hebrews, we're offered an understanding of this in a deep and rich way. But listen to one place in the book of Hebrews that describes this access now that we have to God in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. The Bible says, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. More symbolism still. Just as the veil was torn, just as the curtain was torn, the Lord's body bled for you. But now He is the one who gives you access. He is the one that you trust. His blood and His death on the cross purchased for you that access to God. And now it's a new and it's a living way. That old way, that curtain, it's been torn apart. It's gone. The new and living way, the life you have is in Jesus Christ. The access to God is in Jesus Christ. He is your living way to come to God. Well, Jesus Himself put it this way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way because Christ has made that way for us. And He is a new way. He's a living way. He's the permanent way for us to have access to God through Jesus Christ. Religion won't do it. You can't earn it. You can't work hard enough and you can't pay enough for access to God. But the good news is we don't need to. God's already done that for us. All we need to do is believe what He says and trust Christ as our Savior. Apart from Christ, we are still sinners in need of a Savior. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we receive the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We acknowledge His death on the cross was for us. We acknowledge that He has made access to us, for us to God, and we accept Him and what He's done for us on the cross. You know what the big lie of religion is? The big lie of religion is, if I keep going to church, God will like me enough that when I call on Him, He'll listen. And when I need Him, finally, I'll find Him. I'll just keep being religious. I'll just keep working hard. I'll just keep going to church. And notice how I said that. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. The big lie of religion is you and I can do this. We can be good enough for God. We can get access through the curtain. We can make it to first class. If we just work harder, if we just pay more. But the Bible says God has already made available for you. Already has told you the way. He's already said you can't earn it and you can't pay for it. And he's already said, I've sent my son to do that for you. And all he's asking is that you accept him as your Savior and trust him as your Lord so he can give you access to God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? And maybe that's you today. Maybe today is the day you would finally say, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. Oh, I've been religious and I've been working hard, but I've never trusted Jesus Christ and what he's done for me on the cross. And that's what I need to do today. Because no matter how hard I try, the curtain stays closed for me because I'm not worthy. And I need to acknowledge Jesus Christ is worthy. I'll never be worthy on my own, but Jesus Christ is worthy. And he's already paid the price to get me in. And all I need to do is trust Christ as my Savior. Would you do that today? If you've never done that, would you do that today? Just bow your heads and close your eyes, if you would, for a moment. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. And I want to pray a simple prayer that I pray with folks all the time who ask Jesus Christ into their lives, who trust him as their Savior. And if you understand today that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, if you understand today that all the hard work you put into religion is not going to change your life, it's not going to save you, it's not going to give you access to God, if you understand today that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and he's alive today, I want to invite you to trust him as your Savior today. And I'm going to pray a very simple prayer out loud that I pray with folks all the time who trust Christ as their Savior for the very first time, and I want to invite you to pray that in your heart to the Lord as I pray it out loud. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know I can't save myself. But Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me, and that you're alive today. So Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. Come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. Jesus, thank you for giving me access to God, to your Father. And thank you for your death on the cross. Forgive me of my sins and give me a home in heaven. Heavenly Father, maybe one or two in this room have prayed that prayer with me this morning. And I pray, God, that you would put an urgency in their hearts, God, to follow through in trusting Christ, to follow through, God, with committing their lives to Christ, to joining fellowship with this church, to being baptized, God. But for all of us, that we would follow through in living for Christ today. And God, as we go into this time of decision, I pray, Father, that each of us on this Palm Sunday would know, celebrate, praise you, God, that we have access to you through Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.